The example being, if you are a florist and are asked to provide flowers to a same-sex marriage ceremony, you could say no, because that is against your religious beliefs to have any connection with such a service. Bill Dunn has indicated that that's going to be modified and changed and revised and tightened up and so forth in the future. I think there's a little bit of backing away from that legislation after its introduction. It has aroused the wrath of sexual orientation rights folks, Tennessee Equality Project, for example, who sees it as blatantly discriminatory and unfair. The sponsors indicate that they think that that's a matter of religious freedom, and it's simply protecting religious beliefs who don't want to deal with other folks who have conflicting beliefs, I suppose.
I want to check in on the movement in the legislature to take power away from the governor's position. Can you talk a little bit about that and about what the history is and where we are now?
There does seem to be some building tension between the executive and legislative branches in the General Assembly today. A good example is there is a bill got out of a House committee sponsored by Representative Matthew Hill from up in Jonesboro that says the governor cannot lay off more than 50 state employees without explicit permission passing both the House and the Senate. That sort of ties into dismissal of about 70 employees laid off in the Department of Labor and Workforce Development last year after the legislature left session. Governor is adamantly opposed to that, says it would interfere with his executive management ability. The legislators say yes, but we have authority under the state constitution to oversee the budget and such, and we should be the ones signing off on things like that. There's another series of bills that take away the governor's authority to appoint boards and commissions. You can go off to argue that the Medicaid expansion bill that is moving forward, which requires the legislature to explicitly approve in session any expansion of Medicaid. The governor has already promised to do that, but they're pushing forward this bill, which some see as sort of saying, we don't trust you, governor, even though you've promised that. We're going to pass a bill that says you have to do that.
Now, of course, the legislature can pass all of these measures, and then they would go into effect regardless of how Governor Haslam feels about them, correct?
He can veto a bill, of course, but in Tennessee, as you know, a veto can be overridden by a simple majority. So if the legislators pass a bill and then they vote again the same way they did before, they can override the governor fairly easily. Tennessee has a weak governor in that respect. Traditionally, he's been a very strong governor in his appointive authority.
Well, another piece of legislation is this daylight savings time bill.
That's an interesting one. It was approved by a House subcommittee last week, sponsored by Representative Curry Todd of Collierville, a Republican. And basically it says that when we spring forward in March into daylight savings time, we will never fall back into regular standard time again. Representative Todd argues that this would provide some uniformity and help farmers and give us generally more daylight time to work with. Some of the members of the committee, including Ryan Haynes of Knoxville, were a little bit skeptical of that proposition, but it was nonetheless approved by committee and is moving forward.
Tom Humphreys, the Nashville Bureau Chief for the Knoxville News Sentinel. Thanks for joining us, Tom.
Thank you, Chrissy.